to Ready to be Romanced. I'm Tori.
And I'm Kirsten.
And today we're discussing
book lovers.
I am so excited to chat with you about another banger of a book by Emily Henry.
Yay.
Oh my God.
Did you see my tabs?
Oh my God, you're a tab girly like all the TikTok girls.
I'm not actually a tab girly, but I just did some tabs at like notable moments while I was reading for the podcast because I thought it would help me remember.
That's so cute. I read on my Kindle and I will highlight things, which has been super helpful, but I've always wanted to be like an annotative
like when you lover. Post like the little like memes where people have like highlighted in different colors and like drawn little hearts and stuff, I'm like, okay, that's super cute. But then also I don't know if I have it in me to like permanently alter
a book.
Like the way I guess like we haven't talked about it yet, but like me and my sister used to read together a lot when I was younger, and like she'd be reading one of quote my books and I'd be like, why do you have it open so wide? Like, why did you open the book so... Like, I'm just, like, very precious about them. So I don't know if I can highlight a book.
No, totally. Like I used to be a library user. I still sometimes use the Libby app, but since I don't read paperbacks anymore, I, like, obviously, like, don't really go. But it's, like, I hated when I would read a library book and the corners of the pages were dog-eared and stuff. To dog-ear or not to dog-ear, that is the question.
I'm like, if it's a library book, I might dog-ear.
Get a fucking bookmark. Like, literally get a bookmark.
Don't worry, I have one. Is it in this? No, it's not in the book still. I have bookmarks and I generally use them, but like, in a pinch, if it's not my book and it's not someone I know's book, I might dog ear.
No, I think that's like totally fair.
I'm the devil. It's fine.
Kirsten, can you introduce yourself to the listeners and tell them a little bit about your podcasts with a S on the end?
Yes. Hello, I'm Kirsten. I have a pop culture, celeb gossip, trending topics type podcast called Mess Magnets with my wonderful co-host Sasha, who I'm sure will come on RTBR at some point. She's a huge romance novel girly.
No, literally. And I just tweeted at her. I was like, she was tweeting about a romance novel. I was like, come on the podcast. I really want her on in June. Okay, thank you. Text her.
I'll help you get her. But she's wonderful as well. And we just talk about like total vibes only, the big things in pop culture. And I also have a podcast called Hot Dummies on Islands, where I talk about love shows that happen at the beach or on an island, which is super fun.
I love it. And have you always been a big reader? I don't know this about you. Yeah, I felt always.
My whole family are like big readers, very much like, I think my dad got rid of like everything because he like got rid of all of our lives, but like we used to have like just bookshelf after bookshelf after bookshelf, and they were all full, like double layers of books, like just jammed to the hilt. Like whenever we would move, it would be like when the movers got to like the basement or whatever room had our like bookshelves in them, and like I had to carry all the boxes of books, it'd be like, damn, feel bad for them today.
Yeah,
like I remember being really little and like laying with my mom to go to bed, like when my dad was out of town, and she would be like reading a Regency romance novel, and I'd be like quickly trying to like snatch a glimpse at some of the pages before she turned them, like going to bed. Like, just always been a reader, always been a romance lover since probably way too young. I also am, I think this is a controversial take, I am a romance reader.
Yes, not a really smut reader.
Erotica yes, reader. Like yes, if there's yes. like if there's a little bit of sex or whatever, like it's like I'm not a prude.
No.
But I'm just never really seeking out a book like, oh, I need those 5 spicy peppers. Like I just that's not that interesting to me personally. And I don't judge the people that like it, except that one time when you talked about that, like, I don't know, some, like, creature getting, like, a jerk-off job thing.
The alien. Yes, the alien, like, milkers.
Is that much for me?
That Becky, oh my God, I think actually Becky, she might be the episode after this. We're covering the Unhoneymooners. Yes. And
oh,
she,
I love the Unhoneymooners. That's yes, gonna be so good.
I'm very excited. Yeah. And she oscillates like me between like full romance and more, yeah, smut books. This book, Slow Burn, one sex scene. Wild.
I do wild. Love a slow burn as well. Because I feel like what I really hate sometimes in romance in some of like the like worse or just maybe not for me books is a lot of the time it feels like it just like jumps into a relationship and you're like, these people, I don't understand why they like each other. It doesn't make any sense. And now they're saying I love you and they're just like fucking all day long. Like it doesn't feel real to me. This, I'm like, oh, I can understand, like, there's a spark and they're dancing around each other. But
and they kiss, like, multiple times before it even escalates to, like, under the pants stuff. Exactly. No, like, that's like, real life, I feel like, 100%. And it's, like, if there was a book two, you know that there would be more sex because they're, like, together and stuff now. But there isn't. So, yeah, I completely agree with you that, like, it doesn't make sense in a lot of ways. But I feel like in some cases it does because people do that before they, like, define a relationship or whatever.
It's not, like, a judgment like, it's sex or anything like that. I just, like, I feel like sometimes it just comes off so weird. Like, I tried to read just, like, I've wanted to read, like, a shitty werewolf novel since, like, December. We've talked about this. And I finally got, like, a couple of recs. And I was like, okay, I'm going to read this book. And it was, like,
insane.
Nothing happened. They didn't even have sex. Okay, and I was, okay, like,
because sometimes, like, some Omegaverse ones can be, like, wild because it's, like, packs or, like, why choose or, like...
Well, and nothing happened the whole book. I read 600 pages. I was furious. But I'm reading the second one. So, like, is anything ever going to happen?
Me with ACOTAR. Like, I was like, I guess I'll fucking push through to the second one because I'm unsatisfied with this first one.
Well, the second one is the best one of all of them.
It's so good. I know. Mm-hmm. I know. Yeah, but I get it. I think that's why I like the romance genre so much is, like, there's just so many times where, it's, like, I could do more heavy on the romance, less on the sex. Or it's, like, I know you're not maybe into the paranormal, but it's, like, paranormal is such a good subgenre for when you hate men and you don't want to, like, and you
you're like, I hate men so much that all I want is to read bestiality. Like, I don't get it. I'm sorry, I don't get it. It's not for me.
It's like humanoid.
Okay.
I'm dead. Wait till we cover The Dragon's Bride next month. I'm very excited. It'll be really fun.
I might not partake in that one. Like, you were,
it's 100 pages. I know, which is like such a big commitment.
Cause I don't particularly like fantasy in general, whether it's the romanticy or not. Yeah, it's just not for me. But like,
it's not my number one genre. That wasn't like
fantasy.
So
it was fine.
Okay, let's talk about book lovers. Yes. So,
oh my God, please.
Spoilers ahead, we're going to be talking about this book. It was published May 3rd, 2022 by Miss Emily Henry. She has just had, like, the career of a lifetime.
My first Emily Henry was Beach Read, which I read summer of 2020 shortly after it came out. And then I read People We Meet on Vacation, Book Lovers, and Happy Place all, like, within the week they came out afterwards. Because I was like, oh, I love Beach Read. I love them. Let me go. And I just found out literally yesterday that she has other books from before Beach Read.
Oh, wild.
And so there's or four more books that I now get to read by Emily Henry. And I'm so excited.
That's very exciting. And this is my second Emily Henry book. And I liked this one so much better than People We Meet on Vacation, which I thought was a good book. But this one really, I think, is better.
People We Meet on Vacation is the book that I recommend to my friends that don't, like, love romance novels. Because it's not as much that. And then I can, like, get them in. But Book Lovers is, I think, the best one out of her four, like, in the 2020s.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Yeah, and you're going to read Happy Place soon because I'm going to give it to you.
Yeah, I'm going to read Happy Place, and then I'm going to read Beach Read with Megan, and she's going to come on, and we're going to cover that sometime this summer. So I'm excited for that. So we start. This is such a good prologue. I'm not even really a prologue girly, but I loved this. So we meet Nora, and she is a very successful literary agent in New York City. Very, like, hustle bustle.
She's, like, literally, she's Sandra Bullock's character in The Proposal.
Except with,
like, blonde, icy blonde hair.
Exactly. Like, high heels, power suit, but with a skirt.
And she's on her exercise bike. She loves Peloton.
Yeah, she's on her Peloton as she's, like, working. She never takes a vacation. It, like, works into the evenings, all of this stuff. And she's on the phone with her current boyfriend, Grant, who is dumping her. Because he went, I think, back to his hometown. Or, like, there was some family incident where he got called away. She stayed in New York. She noticed over like a week or so he was getting a little distant, and he calls her to break up with her. And he says, "I'm leaving you for the simple life. I met the daughter of a couple who owns a boutique hotel. And like, this is the life for me." And she just talks about how this is starting to become a pattern where...
It's the fourth time. The fourth time a man has left. She, like, describes herself as, like, the evil corporate girlfriend in the, like, Hallmark movies.
And yes.
Because this is the fourth time that that's happened to her.
Yes. And I thought this was really smart because it's, like, we are usually reading the romance novels about the simple girl in the small town that owns the inn. But most of us are actually more closer to Nora than we are this, like, small town girl. And so she's just like, fuck, I can't believe that this has happened for the fourth time. But while she's on the call, she's realizing she's, like, late for a meeting with, well, he's an editor, and she is a, and she's a literary agent. Yeah. She's gonna pitch him taking on one of her clients' books, which is Once in a Lifetime by Dusty Fielding. And it goes really poorly because she's late. She's having a bad day. She does something really unprofessional, which is like gets a martini at lunchtime.
I mean, it's okay. If you're like in the book world and you're at a business lunch in Manhattan, I feel like it's not that unprofessional to have.
And she was like, it was at 3 p.m. I was like, oh, girl, you're fine.
Like, it's 5 o'clock somewhere, whatever.
Literally, it wasn't 9 a.m. Like,
but yeah, if it was like the morning, I would probably judge a little bit more.
Yeah.
But I just like, they're both kind of like weird with each other.
Yeah,
and they just have a lot of tension.
Yeah, he's cold. They're like kind of sparring a little bit. We find out he had a bad day as well. So he gets another martini and he says no to the editing the book. He says that Sunshine Falls in North Carolina, where the book takes place, is completely unrealistic.
Yeah, and I love it. Nora's like, it's a real town. Like,
I looked it up. Yeah.
There. And he's like, no, but like the way it's portrayed is just not realistic. And you're like, why does he have such a sense of this town?
You might have been thinking that. I definitely wasn't. I was just like... Okay, he didn't like the way she described it. Like, let's move on.
And you're like, okay, let's get to the book.
Yeah. So 2 years later, Once in a Lifetime becomes a great success. Yes. This is another thing that I like. Like, I have just read, I feel like recently, so many books where the female main character is, like, so downtrodden. Mm. And it's like, in some ways she is that, but also it's like, she... had this victory over him, like the book that he declined becomes a huge success. So she's doing well professionally, but she's been dumped by another man.
So I guess this is the fourth one, and the last one was
the third one.
So my B on that one.
But she's upset. Like,
yeah, it's also just like a man that is going to leave the city and then go like immediately fall in love with like the daughter of a Christmas tree farmer is just not meant for you. When you like, she talks so much about New York City and how much she loves it, and she just feels in awe of it from the time she was a child throughout the whole book. And it's like, yeah, of course she's never leaving New York. Like, don't be stupid.
100%. This is something I said about people we meet on vacation, but the sense of place in these books is so good. And like, I've been to New York, I think 3 or 4 times, and it's like, it feels exactly how she describes it. And I feel like when she describes being a native New Yorker, it's like, that's exactly how it sounds. Like, I don't know. It's just, it's done so well. And she's commiserating with her little sister, Libby, who is her best friend. And she's pregnant with her third child. So they live quite opposite lives, where she's married to a man, Brendan, who she met when she was 20. And they are, you know, have kind of financial hard times. And like, she dates, but she's like, I guess, generally single and like is work, no kids.
Yes.
But they have a good relationship, I would say. There is like a little bit that Nora feels like she needs to save Libby all of the time.
Yeah. So their mom passed away when Libby was 16 and I think Nora was 20 at the time. I think it's a 4-year age gap.
Yeah.
So she had to like take care of Libby while Libby finished high school. And from there, I think she really just, she's the caretaker. Like, it's, that's just very much how it is. And I think that that reads very true, like, as a girly in the dead mom club. Like, my sister very much is like, I'm the matriarch now. Like, it's just the vibe, and that feels really real as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're talking and she kind of gets a little panicky, Nora. And there's a quote that says, she's right here, I tell myself, and she's okay. Whatever it is, you'll fix it. I felt that is so older sister. Like, I felt that too, where it's like your sister is going through a tough time or whatever, and you want to fix it, even though maybe it's like she needs to use her own tools to figure it out, and you're just supposed to be the listening ear. But yeah, I really like their relationship. And Libby says she needs a break. She wants to take a trip with Nora, and they want to go, she wants to go to Sunshine Falls because she's a diehard Dusty Fielding fan. And she wants to do 3 weeks alone with Nora and 1 week with Brendan and the kids.
And Nora, like, does not want to go.
She doesn't want to go. She's working.
It's like, I've got work. Libby's like, summer's the slow season. It's fine. You can work there. Like, we're going on this trip. It's the only thing I want. And Nora is not someone who can say no to her little sister. So
They're going to Sunshine Falls. So they head to Sunshine Falls. To me, this was, like, the one thing about the book that I was like, I can't get over this. Because I just feel like you wouldn't, with a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old or whatever, I'm like, I feel like you wouldn't leave your kids for 3 weeks. But then I was like, is that just, like, me? Like, would a dad do that? And would I question that? I don't know. I'm just,
and
like,
a dad would do that.
Yeah. And the answer is the dad would. No, I was just like, I wish that, like, she didn't have kids. And she was pregnant with her first one, or like that they go on a trip, but it's like less time or something. I don't know.
I think it's a long time, but I think since the youngest is 2, it's like old enough that you could do it if you really had to, right?
Yeah, like at that point they're sufficient on the other parent.
Yeah. I think it's like the fact that she's willing to leave her 2 young kids for a month is like so scary to Nora that it gets her to go along with it. I think if she was just pregnant with her first, like maybe Nora would be able to be talked out of it, or like would be like, no, like we'll do something here. We don't have to go, kind of vibes.
True. But she's like, yeah, Despy to go. And Nora's like, okay, we'll like figure that out whenever we figure out what the root cause of this is. And they head to Sunshine Falls, and Libby makes a checklist of all the things she wants to do on the trip, which is like ride a horse. And then Nora's like, you can't do that while you're pregnant. And she's like, skinny dip. She's like, you also probably shouldn't do that.
Yeah, like there's bacteria in the water. It's yeah. Like, wear flannels, go camping, save a small business. Nora has to go on 2 dates with locals.
Yeah. It's very cute. It's very, I feel like there's a resurgence right now on TikTok of people making summer bucket lists.
I literally was just going to say, should we make a summer bucket list?
I was literally just going to say.
Just two girls saying literally to each other. other.
Literally. No, we should get a bottle of wine and get some markers and some. Yes. It has to be.
I've got the wine. I have two bottles of rosé downstairs.
It has to be lined paper, though, because it's like when you were in school and you only had access to lined paper.
Listen, let me flip a page on my handy dandy notepad right here. I'm ready. Like, let's go.
Yeah, it's super fun and it's super cute. And I love doing this type of things. I feel like we should do it for every season. So they get settled in the cottage that they're staying at, and Libby takes a nap and Nora heads into town, and she's like, oh fuck, this is actually truly not like the book.
A small town that is struggling, not like a charming. I feel like small towns never live up to the idea of them that you would see in books or movies. Like, in reality, a small town is like, cool, there's like a bank and an Original Joe's and a Subway and the kids are drinking in the woods because there's nothing else to do. Like, there's, I don't know. What else do you even do in a small town? Like, you just get in your neighbor's business.
100%. She says, everyone here looks like they came straight from climbing Everest or doing drugs in a Coachella yurt. And I was LOLing.
So topical.
So topical. She goes to get a coffee and she's fucking floored that she sees Charlie. So floored that she actually doesn't even think it's him the first time she sees him. So she like sneaks off and sends him an email to see if he'll check his phone. Yes. And he does.
And I love this because it's like, we're set up to believe that this book is going to be enemies to lovers.
I was just going to say this. This is my favorite part about this book. And it really, I think, subverts a lot of enemies to lovers storylines. Mm-hmm. It's just like, he's never mean to her. He's never snippy. He never dislikes her. Mm-hmm. He was having a bad day and maybe was a little bit cold, but he's not like bullying her.
Kind of is mean to him back, but it's like it always comes across as like flirty being mean when you like bully your crush a little bit.
Yeah.
And I know some people would be mad. They'd be like, I was promised enemies to lovers. I want like him trying to kill her and then they suddenly have sex or whatever. And like, no, I love that. This is like a very like Mr. Darcy, Lizzie Bennet enemies to lovers.
Yes.
Where it's like,
yes.
They're like verbally sparring. And I don't think at any point he thinks they're enemies. But
she kind of does. Yeah.
From day one.
It's not even enemies. It's like rivals. But I was like, they're not even really rivals because it's like they don't even have the same jobs. And like they're both successful in their own right. So I really, really enjoyed that because it didn't kind of go along this like stereotypical trope.
She's flirting immediately. She tells him to read like Bigfoot porn.
Yeah.
And then like sends him $1 to buy it.
She would love my paranormal romance reads.
What are the creatures that are getting like milked or whatever in that book?
Aliens, you know what I'm talking about? I think. Yeah.
I thought it was like minotaurs or something.
Oh, it could have been minotaurs. I've never read
a minotaur. All I know is I literally, like, I was walking to spin class at 7 a.m. listening to your podcast. I literally took a picture of my face. I was like, what's happening?
Yeah. Also,
but she sends it to him.
Yeah. Also, just to clarify, we're talking about my other podcast, Ready to Be Petty. You didn't miss anything Ready to Be Romance listener.
If you're not a petty Betty, then I just don't understand that.
Yeah. Also, like, who are you? Yeah. Okay. So, yeah, they're, like, immediately flirting, which I also really like. And they continue emailing over the course of the night.
She, like, uses the emails to sneak out so he doesn't see her there. She gets them some dinner, I think, and they go back to the cottage to figure out what they're going to do with their night.
They do, like, a makeover. That was another thing on their checklist, which I really – I love a book makeover because – I just know when this gets adapted into a movie, it's going to be fucking fun. Like, Amanda Bynes, I feel like, energy, What a Girl Wants energy. Like, I'm just very excited. But yeah, they grab dinner and they run into Charlie. And he's really surprised to see her, obviously, because he thinks he's in New York. And she explains, I'm here with my sister on vacation. She loves Dusty Fielding. And she's like, why the fuck are you here? And he's like, I'm from here. I'm like staying with my parents. This is my hometown. Yeah. And she's like, oh, that's why you didn't want to edit this book.
He's like, yeah, because as you can see by the town around us, that it was not an accurate portrayal of this location. And I just think it's so funny. And then she finds out, like, he's staying with his parents, and normally he'd be staying in the cottage, but because they're, like, Airbnb-ing it, he has to stay in his childhood bedroom.
100%. And he explains it's, like, which we get to witness, but, like, a red race car bed. I can just see him, because, like, he's described as also, like, not that tall. Like, not,
yeah, like, I think not, he's short, a short king.
Like,
yeah.
I feel like not, like, he's not like 5'7". I think they described him as like 5'10" or something like that, but it wasn't like, it was more realistic, I feel like.
But I also get the vibe that like she's like 5'9", 5'10", yes, and she's always wearing heels, so she just like is taller than him, and he's fine with it, which is, I love that. I love a man secure in his masculinity and doesn't need to be like, there's so many of these books are like, and he was 6'6" and he's hulking with his giant muscles, and she was so tiny and dainty,
he threw her over the shoulder,
and she could buy like
a
baby onesie, and like, she's so tiny. Like, I just, this is like, oh, they're like shaped like real people. Cool.
Yeah. Literally, it's the little things.
Just so little. Fuck. But also, so part of what happens here as well is Libby gets the first pages of Dusty's new book, because Dusty is like way behind schedule, and this is the first they're getting pages, like months behind. And the book is about Nadine Winters, who is a film agent, who is like very obviously based on Nora as like a blood, like the shark, like this bloodthirsty agent, and Nora's horrified that this is how people see her.
It's so bad. Also, like, fuck you, Dusty, for being so shady. Like, that's so shady, because it's like, it's in a derogatory sense. It's not like she was like ish, like,
I think it's the thing where, like, once you read the whole book, you're like, oh, this is actually, like, really nice. But all you've got is this one chapter about how I'm such a bitch and all I care about is my job and everyone calls me the shark because I'm out for blood. Cool. Like, that doesn't feel good.
And it's like, you can drop a little memo in the email or give her a phone call.
No heads up. Like, Dusty's been writing this book for, like, a year and a half or something like that. And at no point did you think to give a call. Hey, Nora, like, I know we talk all the time because you're always here for me when I need you. But, like, let me just give you a heads up. Like, character is similar-ish to you, and it's not an insult.
It's so bad. I felt so bad for her. So she's, like, thrown off because she runs into Charlie and she got these book pages. Libby heads home and she stays with Charlie. Nora shows him the chapters, and he's like, oh, it's, like, not so bad. Like, don't worry about it. They end up playing pool. Very cute. I love a pool scene in a book.
Especially, like, listen, you're telling me they're enemies when Nora pretends to not know how to play pool so that he'll teach her? Like,
and then he's like, I'll play with my left hand, because it was kind of like a bet to tell each other about, like, why they were having a bad day. He's like, I'll play with my left hand, and then he's left-handed.
Yeah. Like, she's like, oh, cute. Teach me how to play. Oh, actually, I'm good at pool. And he's like, oh, actually, I'm left-handed. Like, just, I love that little, like, cute. They have great banter through the whole book.
Really good. I also want to say about their banter, not that it seems realistic, because I don't think anyone's this, like, witty or smart, just because it's, like, this is written. It's not, like, spoken.
No, we are.
Okay, what, like, other than us.
About our conversations is that we're just as quick.
But, like, I'll say this banter felt a lot more realistic than a lot of other, like, books that I've read.
So I believe that they'd be that smart because they work in books.
No, you're right. And they're, you can just tell that they're, like, smart people. But it was, like, it was very, like, quick to the trigger. It was fun. But there's a cute moment where they're talking about each other. And then Charlie goes, I'm not talking about you at all. I'm talking about Nadine Winters, my fictional crush. And then she goes, big fan of jet black hair and Krav Maga, huh? It goes, Charlie leans forward, face serious, voice low. It's more about the blood dripping from her fangs. Because he keeps telling her, like, no. Because she feels bad about being a shark and being a businesswoman, I guess.
She's got a complex about all of these, like, Hallmark movie situations that happened, and that, like, she's sure. being a woman in the wrong way, and that there's yes. a right way to operate as a woman in the
and
world.
And he's like,
and
I love she's this. She's doing it wrong. Yeah, yeah. He's like, why would you be embarrassed or, like, ashamed of this? Because, again, men aren't, and I love it. I love this. I'm not threatened by it. So it's so nice. So they play pool. It's very cute. It's dark out, so he walks her home, and she gets stuck in the mud. Very small town romance, and he piggybacks her home.
Why is she wearing heels? Why is she wearing heels and then sunshine falls?
I love that she just, like, sticks to the bit. I wish I was the girl that wore heels all the time. I wish I was that girl. I remember when I got my first office job, I didn't buy, like, crazy heels, but I bought, like, block heels, and I was, like, ended up in sneakers
time. I wore either loafers or heels to work every single day from, like, 2015 through early 2020. And the first time I had to put on heels after COVID, I had a job interview, and I put on my, like, they weren't crazy. They weren't block heels, but they weren't, like, a stiletto. They were, like, maybe 3 inches at most. And I used to wear them every day for 9 hours a day. I need to just emphasize these exact shoes, 9 hours a day, every day. And I put them on for a job interview, and in 5 minutes, I was like,
no,
what are we doing here?
Flats, like, it is.
I've evolved past this.
100%. Yeah, I know. I went to my first conference this past year, like, since COVID, and wore, again, a block heel, like a 2-inch block heel. My feet were fucking killing me. But, like, I love the girlies that even, like, are in jeans, but, like, a mule or whatever. I'm like, you're so chic, but I'm in Converse.
No, I think they're trying too hard. And there's just something effortless about an athletic sneaker.
So we tell ourselves. So he piggybacks her back to the cottage, and they kiss. Which I feel like it's like a drunk fueled yes. makeout, and they, like, jolt away from each other, and they're like, oh my God, we need to, like, pretend that this never yes. happened, which exactly. is.
Because they're colleagues now. He works at the same company she works at now.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't really get that, the difference between Warden and Loggia.
I think they're just two different, like, publishing houses.
Within the same company?
Well, I think, like, he works for Loggia and she works for Loggia now, but he used to work for a different company.
No, but she gets the job at Loggia at the end of the book. I think
the
editing
job, but I think she was already working there as an agent.
As a literary agent. I see. Also, you guys, if you liked this book, really watch the show Younger. Have you seen?
I haven't watched it.
Oh my God. Okay. It's Sutton Foster and Hilary Duff, and they work at a publishing house, and you get to learn more about publishing houses. And why I didn't get the inner workings of this was because, you know, there's different, like, kind of units under publishing houses, and they work for an imprint. That's what they're called.
Mm-hmm.
Hilary Duff and Sutton Foster's character work for a millennial imprint. Underneath this, like, bigger company, and it's, like, really fun. So
okay, yeah, I'll check it out.
Watch that show. Yeah, it's really, really good. So the next day, Nora goes looking for Wi-Fi and ends up at the local bookstore, which is owned by Charlie's parents. He's helping run the store because his dad had, like, a second stroke, and he's mm-hmm. in physical therapy, and the family needs help. He's balancing all that with his big New York City job. We find out that Dusty's regular editor had her baby early, so Charlie wants to be the editor of Dusty's next book.
And in the prologue, Charlie's like, please feel free to send me Dusty's other work. I just don't want to edit, like, once. And then Nora's like, I will never send him another book ever because I hate him because he said no.
It's because he lived there and he yes. actually really likes Dusty's writing. He just didn't want to deal with the whole yeah. hometown thing. It's so it's like, funny.
We talk about how in Emily Henry's books, the, like, settings and the places feel so real. Well, it seems like Dusty's books are the opposite. She's just making shit up, right?
Literally.
And so Nora's like, I'll ask Dusty, but, like, any of your edits have to go through me first because you're way too mean, and Dusty needs her hand held.
Yeah, yeah. Which, like, I guess that's fair. She just assumes he's going to be really harsh because, again, like, cutthroat editor. Yeah. But it's, like, that actually doesn't end up being the case. Like,
I think he's, like, a little bit harsh. And she just, like, has to show him how many compliments Dusty needs. And then it's totally fine.
That's so relatable.
We also get Nora meets Charlie's mom. And then Charlie's mom starts texting Charlie about how, like, beautiful the girl staying at the cottage is, which I love.
So funny. And then Charlie just sends, like, a screenshot. It's really cute. Meanwhile, Libby makes a dating profile for Nora on an app called Marriage of Minds, or Mum, and sets her up on a date with a man named Blake. So she goes on this date, and it's, like, right off the bat, awful.
He lied about his height, and then he was like, how tall are you? What size are your feet? Just, like, I think she's 5'10 at the absolute most. So, like, tall for a woman, but not, like, giant by any means. And it's like,
fucking get over it.
Have you ever talked to a woman in your life?
It's just so bad. And it's making Charlie look like a potential suitor.
A saint. And Charlie helps him sneak out through the back door of the restaurant. And the bartender's like, you can't be back here. And Charlie's like, Blake thinks he's on a date with this woman. We need it. And she's like, okay, yeah, get out the back door. Run away.
Yeah. And Nora's like, okay, it looked like you had, like, a little thing. Like, you seem really close with this bartender. And he's like, yeah, that is my ex-girlfriend who I almost married. And Nora's like, oh, he must still have feelings for her. But
yeah. She's like, she definitely has feelings for him.
Yeah. So they sneak out to a little Italian place and basically go on a date. They have dinner together. It's very cute. And we get some of their family backstory. Dad's a contractor and, again, needs physical therapy. He has a younger sister who lives in Italy and paints. His mom used to be a painter. She tells him that she used to want to be a book editor like him, but became an agent instead because of the money, because she needed to help out with Libby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she had the opportunity to be an editor, but she didn't go to the second interview because leaving her commission-based job where she was making a ton of money to go to, like, a low entry-level salary was just, like, too scary for her.
Yeah, which is fair. I think that is, like, the logical decision at that point. Nora says to Charlie, my sister made this Sunshine Falls checklist, and he's like, she explains what it is, and he's like, I bet you can't do all of those things. And at the time, they're, like, talking about how he has a rent-stabilized apartment in New York. And she's like, I bet if I do all of them in, like, the next 3 weeks or whatever, you have to let my sister sublet your apartment while you're in Sunshine Falls. And I was like, that's insane. I guess it's, like, it's subletting, but I'm like, oh my God, do not give up your rent stabilized apartment. Like,
and that's the thing too, where it's like, Nora's so convinced that the reason why there's distance between her and Libby is because Libby and Brendan are having financial issues, especially with expecting their third child. And, like, she's trying to find them a better place to live in New York, but nothing is within their kind of price range. Mm-hmm. And so she's like, this is perfect. I'll just give them Charlie's apartment. And Charlie agrees, which is, like, should be major red flags that he would be willing to give it up.
Yes,
but it just doesn't come up.
Also, the checklist is, like, so easy. I guess, like, save a business is hard, but, like, all the other things you could do in, like, one afternoon. Like, it's literally like pet a horse. Like, it's so funny.
Yeah, it's like they already did makeovers. They have to pet a horse. They have to wear flannels. They have to go camping.
Yeah.
She has to go on one more date because she's been on one now.
Yeah.
And is there even anything else? Like, anything would be easy. The only thing that's hard is saving a local business.
Absolutely. So he walks her home again, and they take a shortcut through the forest, and there's a hot springs, and they decide to skinny dip, or she does, and then he gets pulled in to check something off the checklist, and they kiss again because they're
Because they're naked. Yeah. And, like, because, like, at first she's, like, goes in her underwear.
And he's like that's not
a bikini. Yeah. Like, that's not skinny dipping.
That's not skinny
dipping. And like, flings her bra at him. And yeah. He sees. Oh, and that's the other thing. One of, like, her family's things is, like, you should always wear, like, good underwear because you'll feel confident and whatever. It's not because you're going to get hit by a bus. It's just, like, you'll feel confident. And so she's wearing, like, sexy lingerie. And he's yeah. like,
he's like, this is insane.
Wasted this on Blake?
Yeah, yeah. He's like, this is, like, fucking insane. But it's, like, the same thing that happens where they, like, kind of jolt apart. And she's like, oh, my God, I literally missed a phone call from Dusty. Because she's, again, still stuck on her head of, like, I need to work 24 hours a day. The next thing on their list to do is help save a local business. And Libby decides they need to spruce up Good Books, which is the bookstore that Charlie and Nora have been working out of. This is really cute. I like her, like, thrifting all the stuff. And, like, the best part of bookstores are when it's, like, thrifted furniture and they have the book lovers' suggestions. Yes. And it's, like, cozy and...
I love a cozy bookstore. Like, in yeah. Victoria, where we live,
yeah.
like, the old Russell Books was just, like, an absolute haven. Like,
oh, my God.
The new Russell Books is, like, fine, but the old
I talk
Russell
about
Books
that
was...
all the time. Like,
I... But did you know, like, it got closed because the books were too heavy yes. and, like, they had an inspection and the, like, engineer, like, was like, everybody out now.
No, literally, because you would, so basically it was two stories.
Yes.
And if you went up to the top, it would be like every step, it would be like creaking. Like your yes. feet would be creaking under the wood. I knew I wasn't safe there.
Yeah, like, but like once you went up to the second floor, it was like floor to ceiling. Like that was the used book section. And it was just so full to the brim of like the happiest place for a book lover. It was so beautiful. And the new one is like, again, it's fine. It's structurally sound. It has an escalator. That's crazy.
Yeah. It's just, it doesn't have the vibe. It's like a brand new store. It used to be a Staples, so you guys can kind of picture.
That explains a lot. I didn't know that.
What it used to look like. But Monroe's is a good bookstore here. But
it's
like,
beautiful.
We don't
There's
really
no one
have.
To like sit there, though. We don't have a bookstore where you can like sit and vibe and like have a coffee.
When I went to LA, I went to two bookstores, the Ripped Bodice, which is a romance-only bookstore, yes. and the Last Bookstore Standing, I think it was called. It was this vibe, like, absolutely Love this it. Vibe, like family-run type of store, and I that was it. Really nice. But tensions are brewing a little bit with Nora because, and Libby, because Libby seems to be avoiding calling her husband. And she's like, oh, my God, did she want to run away here because they're, like, need to get a divorce or whatever? Yeah. So she's like, that could be happening.
She's stressed about that. Another thing that we haven't talked about, like, Nora goes for a run every morning because she's, like, a psychopath and she misses her Peloton. And there's, like, a hot carpenter that she's encountered a few times on the road, like, once while she was super hungover. And that's Shepherd. And Nora sees Charlie and Shepherd both at the bookstore and notices like a weird tension, and Shepherd's like, do you want to go on a tour of the town? And she's just like, Charlie's being weird, yeah, let me get in this guy's truck.
No, it's literally like so sporadic and like kind of rash. But yeah, Shepherd is the foil to Charlie. He is the small town carpenter that, you know, Mary is the innkeeper.
Like, if this was a Hallmark movie, she would be getting with Shepherd and like move to Sunshine Falls and like running the bookstore.
Yeah,
like, that's
bake
what it
spread
would be
or whatever.
If this was like that Hallmark story where she's gonna realize that she actually doesn't need to work so hard. But that's not what this story is, thank God.
Thank God. So he takes her to this like kind of lookout where there's a half constructed house and he's like, I'm building that for myself. And again, just like the romance novels, like they're sitting on the hood of his car and he turns the radio on to some music and he asks her to dance. And so they start dancing and she's like, this is like so out of my comfort zone. And he's about to kiss her and her phone rings and she's like, yeah. Okay, thank God. This
saved by the bell.
Yeah, literally saved by the bell. This like wasn't feeling right and I needed kind of like this interruption. But the next day at the bookstore, Charlie comments for spending time with Shepherd. But yes. it's revealed that he has plans with Amaya. So she's like, okay, like, you clearly have, like, plans to rekindle things with your ex. So, like, what is going on?
Yeah. And yet, she's, like, furious. She's so mad that Charlie is going to meet up with Amaya again.
She's jealous. And I think this is the first time she realized that she's like, okay, like, I don't want to kiss Shepherd. I really want to kiss Charlie. I miss him. I'm jealous of this other girl. Like, feelings are starting to, like, brew. That's another thing that I really liked about this book is they weren't ever, like, shocked that they had feelings for each other. Like, they basically say they want to date, like, pretty quick after this. And it's, like, I love that they weren't, like, blind to those feelings.
Yeah, I think it's much more compelling when it's, like, they want to date, but for whatever reason they can't, than, like, oh, they just don't even know that they like each other. Because it's, like,
yeah,
people aren't, like, that dumb. Normally people know when they like someone.
100%.
I don't know. So Libby takes Nora to go see a community theater adaptation of Dusty's novel Once in a Lifetime, which is, like, the leading man is played by, like, an 11-year-old boy. And then there's it's a bunch really of old women in it with him. It was, like, a super cringe play.
It's very Gilmore Girls, like, Stars Hollow theater production.
I there are a lot of, like, Gilmore Girls vibes throughout this, like, especially with everyone's quick wits and the jokes and all of that. They just aren't making that many pop culture references, but, like,
yeah,
the vibe is there.
Absolutely. And Sally, who is Charlie's mom, invites them to an after party at their home. And we find out at the party that Shepherd is Charlie's cousin. That's why he was, like, being weird. And after, like, some small talk, Nora meets up with Charlie at the party. And they, well, I think they, she finds, he finds her, I think, in his childhood bedroom.
She gets upset because she is, like, trying to, like, talk to Libby. And Libby's, like, not really vibing, I think. And so she gets upset and goes and hides in his childhood bedroom in his race car bed. And he comes in and, like, they talk it all out.
Yeah.
We find out that Charlie is actually adopted because his mother was already pregnant with him when she got with his father. And, like, what a hard time he's had. And kind of, like, more info about why he would feel so insecure about Shep, who's, like, actually, quote unquote, part of the family and, like, took over his father's business and is the golden boy that, you know, Charlie never was.
Totally. And it makes sense why there's, like, times in the book where he is, like, demanding honesty. And it's like, this is one of the reasons why he likes to just be really upfront. And they kiss again, and it's very, very cute.
They've also been editing the book together, which has gotten them closer.
Mm-hmm.
Which is nice.
Yeah, you can tell that they, like, really work well together. They really respect each other's, like, work ethic and, like, their contributions to Dusty's book. And they're working one night at the library and they, like, start to hook up and it, like, escalates. And then, like, all of a sudden they're like, there's all these intrusions when they're, like, trying to hook up. But it's not annoying. It's, like, it's funny.
It's very much like, oh, she's staying in an Airbnb with her sister with only one bed. He's in his childhood bedroom. Like where are they going to do it? Like, in his car? It doesn't seem like he has a car. It seems like he walks around a lot.
They all just walk.
Where are they supposed to do it? At first they end up leaving this to go get the camping supplies to, like, surprise Libby because camping is on the list, and I was like, they're gonna hook up in the tent. Like, they're gonna
me
hook
too
up in the tent.
Because
and then
they blow up an air mattress. I was like, they're definitely gonna fuck on the air mattress, and then they, like, completely don't. But yeah, because they're out of the library, they start hooking up, and then he's like, we can't have sex in a library, we are currently in a public place. And also, like, we should do this right. Like, we don't want to just, like, have a rushed
hookup. Yeah, he's like, I don't want to do it on a table.
Yeah, like, which is, that's fair. So, yes, they go to Target in a nearby town to pick up some camping supplies. And they set it all up in their backyard. And we get the backstory about what's going on with Amaya. And basically, Charlie's like, yeah, I actually followed her to New York because she wanted to move there. But eventually, you know, she wanted to move back and we did long distance and it wasn't good. So we broke up. But what was happening behind my back when I was in New York was that Amaya ended up dating Shepherd, and Charlie's family all knew and didn't tell him. So he was like really hurt by this.
And it's like, it's a small town. There's not that many people to date. So if there's like young, attractive people, it might just happen. But like, damn, your whole family hiding it from you. That's cold as ice.
Totally. Especially because he already has this chip on his shoulder about Shepherd. And then obviously that's why he was so pissed when Nora was getting a private tour of Sunshine Falls from him.
And Nora's literally like, if I had known he was your cousin, I would have never even gone with him. 100%. But I didn't know.
Totally, totally. Which is like, honestly, kind of a gripe and grumble. I didn't write this down, but like, why wouldn't you be like, when they were all three together at the bookstore, like, oh, this is my cousin. Like,
well, I mean, I don't know.
I would say that. I feel like that would happen. Or like, why didn't Shepherd, like, not even put it on Charlie, why wouldn't Shepherd be like, when he's learning about Nora being a literary agent in New York, be like, oh, so is my cousin.
Like, yeah, or like, oh, do you know my cousin?
Yeah, like, oh, small town, my cousin's actually an editor at a publishing house in New York too, you might know him. Charlie?
Yeah, because I feel like that's the thing people do where they'll be like, they'll meet a Canadian and be like, oh, do you know Sue? So like,
I hate when you actually do know them though. Like, it's like, you're like, fuck.
You're like, yeah, there's 12 people in this country. I don't know what else to tell you.
Yeah, literally. So funny. But yeah, I kind of felt like that was weird, but it's beside the point. Because Nora gets a call from the company and there's an open editor position and Charlie recommended her, which was very cute.
Yeah, and she's like very excited but conflicted, and yeah, it's very sweet.
Yeah, and she picks up this call when she's camping, I guess, and Libby starts to get mad at her because she's like, you can't ever take a break from work. And Nora's like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, I basically do all of this for you. And kind of everything that they had been feeling kind of comes to the surface. But yes, as soon as they start getting it all out, she faints. And Nora,
Libby faints.
And Nora calls for help. And Charlie takes them both to the hospital. And
very dramatic. Like, Libby drops to the ground. And I'm picturing Nora, like, in the town square, like, help, help.
Somebody no, she's literally calling for help. It was scary for sure. But he's very comforting, which is good because she had an ex-boyfriend, Jacob, and when her mom passed away, he didn't support her at all. He actually like broke up with her basically because of it.
Yeah, he went on a writer's retreat to Wyoming and left her for some small town girl.
Yeah, he says this is cute. Do you know how fucking lucky anyone you care about is? And we find out Libby is anemic and she's had bouts of anemia through her first two pregnancies, but didn't tell Nora, and she eats meat now. So they have like some fun.
They go to Burger King.
Yeah. Some fun discussion about being a vegetarian. And Libby's like, you don't have to replace our mother. Like, I don't want you to feel like you have to do that, but like, I appreciate you nonetheless.
Yeah, it's a lot of, like, I appreciate what you've done for me, but, like, I'm a grown-up now, so please let me take care of myself.
And which is fair. Yourself. She's a fucking mother of almost three.
Like, mm-hmm. And she's worried about, like, it's not that she's like, oh, Nora, you work too much. She's like, oh, Nora, I'm, like, worried that you work so much that you don't get to have a full life with everything that you might want.
Absolutely. Kind of, yeah, it's not out of judgment or malice or anything like that. She's like, I want you to have a full life, and I just basically see you being like a little workaholic. Charlie and Nora meet up again to continue editing Dusty's book, and Nora tells him, like, I'm interested in dating you. Again, I love this, like, transparency. There's no wishy-washiness. She's not like, I realized I loved you after the hospital situation. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I do also want that, but there's a reason we can't work out, and it's because I plan on staying in Sunshine Falls to help my parents.
Yes, and this is where we find out that the editing job she was recommended for was his job, because he's leaving. They need someone local.
Yeah, which is like wild.
Which is stupid. Why do you need someone local? It's book editing. You could do it online.
Yeah, it makes kind of no sense, because yeah, it's like, it's post 2020, and also like, he's already been doing it for a while. But I guess, like, a lot of probably authors and stuff go to New York for, like, the meetings and stuff like that. But I was like, he could totally live in North Carolina. That's another gripe and grumble I want to talk about. It's like, North Carolina is not far away from New York. And, like, I feel like they're talking about it like it's, like, a 8-hour plane ride. Because it's like he could just commute once a month to take the meetings or whatever. Or like, mm-hmm. it just, there were other solutions, but whatever.
To be fair, companies don't tend to be open to other solutions. They're like, you will be there 3 days a week, whether you need to be or not. You'll sit in that chair to answer your team's calls instead of at home for no reason.
You're so right. You're so right. And they end up having sex.
In the bookstore.
Because then the power goes out. We didn't even say that. The power went out. So that's like they have like a flashlight and like a camping light. And they have sex. It's very cute. He's really sweet to her. He's like, you fucking undo me. It was very Mr. Darcy.
They're very practical. It's like, oh, no, you're on birth control, but I'll still get a condom. No problem. Although he has it in his wallet, which is we should know by now not to keep a condom in our wallet.
Oh, my God. That's such a good gripe and grumble, because it's like, oh, my God, every book I've read this year, if there's a mention of a condom, it's in the guy's wallet. And it's just like, babes. If you don't know this, maybe we shouldn't be judging, but we'll tell you right now, the heat from your body like softens the latex of the condom in your wallet.
Makes it way more prone to break. It just makes it less effective.
Yeah.
It's not a good place to keep your condoms.
No.
Have a pouch or something in your car or whatever.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Don't leave it in your wallet. That's just not a smart place to keep it.
Yeah, totally. And after they have sex, Charlie wants Nora to stay with him. And Nora says to Charlie that she has never... or she hasn't for like 10 years stayed overnight with a guy, because one of the nights that she was staying over at Jacob's house, her mom passed away and her phone died and Libby was trying to reach her. She was at the hospital for like hours by herself, and Nora feels so much guilt from not being able to answer the phone.
And I like that is... I can understand why you'd be like totally filled with regret.
Absolutely. Like that happened. 100%. And,
like, but it's like... babe, we gotta get you a therapist. We gotta work through this, because this is not a good way to live your life. It's just not healthy.
Very avoidant. Let's get you a therapist. Let's get you a charging pack for your phone. And yeah. Like,
but he's like super nice. They cuddle up for a while before he takes her home. Mm-hmm. He's really understanding of that like trauma, which is very sweet. And the next day is when Brendan and his kids with Libby
arrived. Yeah, Bia and Tala. Tayla? Tala?
I think Tala. What did you think of these names? Do you think it's just B? Is it just B?
Oh, is
like
it?
Like Beatrice?
Oh, but I think Beatrice is usually Bia, isn't it?
I thought it was just B. I don't know. Listeners, chime in. Let us weigh in.
Because I always think of Eugenie and Beatrice, the royals, and I think they call her Bia. But whatever. It doesn't matter.
I genuinely don't know. I thought it was B, but like I don't know. I've only read the name. I've never known anyone with the name.
I was going to say, though, the name's like take it or leave it.
Yeah. Not my favorite.
Not my favorite.
I guess I don't know their surname. It might flow really well.
Because we know the surname of the family, but if Libby changed it, we don't know. I don't think Brendan's.
Yeah.
Anyways, the family reunites and Nora's like, oh, literally nothing's wrong with them. I like basically made this up.
Yeah. They're like grabbing ass the second they see each other. Yeah.
She's like, it's totally fine. And Libby's like, there is something like a secret that I've been hiding from you though, but like, I want to surprise you with it. So she takes her to a house in Asheville, which is the town, the neighboring town.
Like the nearest, like slightly bigger town.
Yeah. And she takes her into this house and she's like, surprise, Brendan and I bought this house and we're moving here because he got a job here. And she's like, are you fucking kidding me? Libby.
I cannot imagine selling my home and my like closest family not knowing about it. Like, I just feel like that's so crazy to sell your home and not just like, or like to buy a home and not be like, hey, Like, when Brendan applied for the job, Libby should have been like, Nora, Manhattan isn't working for us as a family, and Brendan is applying for this job in North Carolina. We're still going to see each other all the time. It's not that far. Well, it just won't be, like, every week. And I just really hope you can support me in this. Like, that's the right way to approach this. But Libby was like, I can't tell. I just can't tell her that I'm leaving. I just can't do it.
No, this was insane. Because you're totally right. It's like interview processes take months. Applying for jobs takes months. But it's like
it buying a house
takes months. And also, it's like Nora would understand eventually, because it's like they can't afford a family of five. They can't afford to be in a like, they were describing that it was like a 2-bed, 1-bath or whatever. Like, they can't afford to live in New York. That is, and Manhattan specifically. It's like, that is completely reasonable that they want to move to a city where they can afford a house with rooms for each of their kids, multiple bathrooms, and like a backyard.
Like, and it comes up, like, Nora talks so much throughout the whole book about how much she loves New York and she can never imagine herself anywhere else.
But
and
Libby doesn't.
Later, like, the way Libby talks about their childhood and New York is just like, it's like the first Nora's hearing of it.
Yes.
And it's just like, wow, if they had like had a conversation.
This was just such a big betrayal, because it's like, she is your only relation, basically. Like, they don't talk about,
you're an orphan.
Yes. Like, you don't talk about, you know, the any aunts or uncles or cousins or nieces or nephews or anything. It's like, it's literally you and your sister. And this is just such a bad move on Libby's part. And it's like, yeah, no wonder you were being shady. You were hiding this huge secret from your sister.
And, like, your sister knew something was wrong.
Yeah.
And was just, like, trying to be a mind reader, because you wouldn't say a damn word to her. Like, I, listen, I'm the younger sister.
Yeah.
I can understand, like, being afraid of telling your sister. But, like, nah. You gotta just tell your sister. This 100%. Is crazy.
And, again, I feel like if they were in New York and she was like, hey, I think that Brendan is, like, for the best thing for our family is to move into a bigger space, I don't want to ask for your help again. I think the best thing for our family is to move. I feel like Nora, maybe she would be a little bit stung at first, but after, eventually she would have been like, yeah, of course, this makes so much sense. And they can still do their sisterly stuff on trips, because, again, not too far. But I do want to say, just to point out for Nora, like, as a single girly, that when Libby was like, I'm moving, and she lists, like, she's like, okay, there goes my Christmas plans, my New Year's Eve plans, like, all of this stuff, I'm like, that makes sense, that it's like, for you, this is like a huge loss.
It's like, she's made Libby her whole world, because she takes care of her, and like, is the, she's the matriarch of the family.
Yeah.
And so it's like, yeah, of course this is gonna be huge, and like, it's been sprung on her, so it's not like she even has time to consider what the new plans will be like, right? It's
just totally that's the other wild thing, is she's a reasonable, logical person that would come around if you gave her time, but you gave her no time
to surprise her with the house that you bought, which they had already closed on before they told her about it. It's just like, I do believe that people would do this. Absolutely. But I don't think they should.
No, not at all. So she goes to find Charlie because she's looking for someone to comfort her. And she cools down a little bit. She reconnects with Libby and realizes, like, that Libby had planned this whole trip to basically pitch her on Sunshine Falls and having Nora move here with her. But she's like, no, this, like, this is the time that I, like, start living my life for me.
Yeah.
I am going to apply for the editing job, and I'm going to continue to live in New York because New York means so much to me.
And this is where, like, Nora wanted her to, like, date a small town guy and fall in love and want to stay.
Yeah.
And all she saw is, like, she was getting so frustrated. It's like, Nora just keeps, you know, being pulled by, like, the magnetic attraction to Charlie, who is so, like, New York, New York, just, like, Nora is, even though he's actually staying.
And you finally realize why Libby, like, not hated Charlie, but was basically like, you spend too much time with him, like, you should, he's too New York, like, you should, like, try to find someone else, because of course she wanted her to stay there. This is really sad. So basically she's like, I have, like the job potential. I like feel satisfied that my sister's going to be taken care of. I'll be in New York and I have the guy, but he's being pulled in another direction. And Charlie suggests that they do long distance, but they're like, we just don't think that'll work for either of us.
And they've already talked about how long distance doesn't work.
Doesn't work. And they're like, okay, we'll just like consider it. But she's like, last week, if you asked me that, I liked you enough to say yes, but this week I love you too much to say yes. It's very, very cute. I was crying at this point.
I literally, from like the point she finds out that Libby is like staying to the end, I like
was sobbing. Yeah, literally.
And, like, it was the second time I read it. Like, I had not.
Tears were like falling down my cheek. Actually, you know what? The first time I cried in this book was when they were talking about the Freeman bookstore that they lived above as kids. Mm-hmm. And they talked about the woman that, I feel like I'm going to like cry again, but like did the book lovers program and like,
yeah,
it was like very, very cute. But yeah, sobbing.
I had gotten ready for the day because I had two sets of plans. I had lunch plans and I had dinner plans. I got ready for the day. I went to lunch. I came home and I finished the book. And I had to then wash my face and redo my makeup before my evening plans because I had black from my eyebrows to my chin.
Yeah.
Like, I looked like a clown in a horror movie. It was so, but like, I couldn't stop. And I had read it before and I cried that whole same time the first time too. Like, it's just so beautiful, and Emily Henry's writing is so good. And you, like, I think especially because we're both people with sisters and we're super close with our sisters, I think that that's a huge part of it.
Absolutely.
But it just, like, you can feel it and it feels so real. And I was just like
no, it literally is like so devastating because it's so realistic. And I think that a lot of people also, like, in their 30s realize that sometimes you find the right person, but like time or whatever, like, just there's just something that's like doesn't work, and that's like mm-hmm. devastating. And I think that prior to, or just like in a lot of books, I feel like if they break up, it's because they weren't right for each other or whatever. But it's like they know they're right for each other, but they break up because of mm-hmm. these circumstances. That it's just, it's so realistic that it makes it even sad, more sad.
Yeah. And they're just so perfect for each other.
Yeah.
And Charlie's like, take my rent stabilized apartment because I'm not coming back. Like, if money is the problem, like, pursue your dreams. You can have my apartment. It's like, Charlie, he's so perfect.
I know, I know. It's very, very cute. And she, well, I guess they head back to New York, the fam jam, the Stevens family.
She has like 3 months with them before they move.
Yeah, they do a bunch of fun New York things. She gets the job and she's working at it and as the editor. On their mom's birthday, they had this tradition of going down to the bookstore and visiting it, and she does that by herself this time because obviously
Libby's too close to her due date, so she can't travel back for it. I think she would have traveled back for it otherwise, but Libby calls and is like, oh, did you get my present? And Nora's like, what present? What are you talking about? She's like, well, for mom's birthday. Mm-hmm. She's like, we never do presents for that. And she shows up and Charlie's at the store. Yeah. I'm gonna cry. Like, I'm literally gonna cry.
I know. And he's like, she's shook. She's like, is this my present? Yeah. And he's like, we're going to work this out. My dad is out of physical therapy. Libby is going to run my parents' bookstore, which means I'm free to move back to New York and we can be together. And it's very sweet.
And it's, they agree, and then we get an epilogue, which is 6 months later. Charlie has an editor job at another company that's way higher paying than any of the editor jobs he's had in the past. They're visiting Sunshine Falls. Their whole family's there. And she knows, like, oh, he's going to propose because he has an empty ring box because I'm never going to, like, wear jewelry that someone else picked. And it's like,
no, I know he, like, knows.
I'm, like,
her
literally,
so well.
Like, why am I tearing up? I've read this book two times.
I know. And it's just so cute because it's like now they can visit Sunshine Falls all the time because all of their loved ones are there. And they're all doing what's right for them, even if that means, like, not being able to see each other, like, all the time and stuff.
It's so good. We're crying on the podcast.
No, literally, I'm like trying so hard.
We're hanging on by a thread, but it's fine.
I know. I'm like trying not to think about it too much because I will fucking start crying.
I'll lose it. But basically, it's like the 6 months after December is Dusty's newest book is out, and she's like doing a reading in Sunshine Falls because she's like her other book totally gave, you know, an influx for tourism and stuff, and like kind of is like breathing new life into Sunshine Falls in a way. So I think that's very sweet as well.
Yeah, frigid.
But yeah, love it. 5 stars out of 5.
Yeah, yeah.
This is like, it became my favorite book of all time.
I love that.
Like the minute I read it, and I just love it so much.
Me too. Okay, let's get into our internet investigation. This is our cursory peruse of the internet of things you need to know. I didn't know this, but all of Emily Henry's books, or I think like the ones that you talked about at the beginning of the show, are in the same universe.
I love it.
That's which is fun. Very cool.
It's like, but it's also they all happen in different locations. Yeah. So it doesn't actually matter.
Yeah, totally. And it's like it all happens in the continental US, but it doesn't matter.
I think it's vibes like Taylor Jenkins Reid's books also all happen in the same universe. But as you read more of them, you actually will see recurring characters. I don't think that's going to be a thing for Emily Henry since I've read 4 of them now and none of them have any overlap.
Totally, totally. While I was doing some research, though, in the Emily Henry verse, we covered People We Meet on Vacation. And apparently there's a theory that Alex is going to be played by Callahan Skogman. My apologies for that pronunciation, because they interact with each other like a lot on Instagram. He played Matthias on Shadow and Bone.
I never watched that. I think I've also seen theories that Ayo Edebiri is going to be involved in one of the Emily Henry movies, because that's the other thing too. All 4 of these books have been like greenlit to become movies. Like Beach Read, Book Lovers, People We Meet on Vacation, and maybe Happy Place. I'm actually not 100% sure on Happy Place, but at least the first 3 all are going to be movies.
We're getting all the Emily Henry movies. This man, Callahan Skogman or whatever, he's not like my dream man, but I will say he does look very much like Alex from People We Meet.
I'm like very bad at picturing like the people when I'm reading a book. So I'm just like, I'm fine. It's like a reasonably attractive man. He's not my type, but like if you like it, I love it.
Totally. Okay, our wonder whys. These are our unanswered questions for the listeners. I guess it's like my wonder whys are like, after growing up in New York, could you really be happy in like a small town?
I think that's also a big part of why Libby had to already have 2 kids. Like it just needed to be like they had to leave. They did not have another choice.
Yeah.
They couldn't afford to go to like the upstate New York vibes. Like they didn't have enough money for like Westchester, but they have enough money for like a smaller community. I don't know why they didn't move to like New Jersey, but
no, I know, but like that,
whatever.
Yeah, totally, 100%. Like go to Long Island. Like I don't know.
Well, I guess like we're just not from there, so maybe there's like a big reason that we just don't understand because we're not coastal elites from that coast.
Yeah, yes, yeah. We're not bi-coastal. Okay, do you have any other wonder whys?
I don't really. Like, I guess when we talked about, like, why did she leave her 2 young children for
a
month? Like, why would, that's really the only thing.
Yeah.
I kind of wonder why it took this trip to Sunshine Falls for Nora and Charlie to, like, actually talk. I feel like they would have met at like
that thank you
function. Like I yes. feel like they, I feel like it's weird that they had like never talked before that one meeting 2 years ago and then they seemingly never spoke again. Like I kind of get she avoided him because she was mad, but I just think I think they would have met and been compatible in New York too. So it
100%. I was thinking weird that too.
That didn't happen.
100%. Especially because he didn't hate her. Like she had this made up competition in her head, but he didn't at all. And he seemed to really
obsessed with her. Let's be clear.
Yeah, and he like was really respected her and her work. And so that was one thing I was thinking about too, of just like why didn't they meet sooner? But
Yes.
That's okay. Our gripes and grumbles, these are nitpicky problems we have with the book. Okay, yeah. It's like kind of annoying when she's shocked. This is in the prologue, so like we're getting really granular here. But
I didn't feel like she was shocked.
She was just like, yeah, so Grant dumps her. She's kind of shocked. And I was like, babe, you didn't even book a flight when he was having like a family crisis. You just let him go by himself for like 2 weeks. She's not like, there's a part of her that's like shocked, but then there's a part of her that it's like, I kind of just let that happen.
She literally says, okay, page 4 of the book. So I stayed, and deep down, I knew, yeah, I was releasing Grant to the small town romance novel gods to do.
But then why is she in a bad mood then? Because it's like, you literally
I think she's just mad because she's late for her meeting. Yeah. Like, I don't even think she cares that Grant is dumping her, yeah, from the, like, hotel person. I think she's just like, fuck, I'm late for work, and that's what really matters
here. Yeah, okay, that's fair. That's fair.
But, fair enough. Like, maybe she should care more that her boyfriend is dumping her.
No, and also, it's like, even if she doesn't want to be with this person for the rest of her life, this is a person that is close to you, like, that is your boyfriend. You should probably support him. Even if he is, like, a boyfriend you know you're not going to spend the rest of your life with. I'm like...
You should have just, like, I don't know. I guess you can't break up with them when they leave to go deal with a family emergency. But it's almost like she should have just dumped him before he left.
100%. Or, like, again, gone. And then once they come back to New York... Dumped him.
She can't leave New York because of her trauma about not being there for Libby. So
I know. How dare you? I know. My bad.
I guess we already talked about the kids and...
Yeah, leaving for 3 weeks. But I want to know from listeners, like, do people think that's weird or am I being judgmental and, like,
not... Yeah, how dare you as a... single income, no kids, judge a mother in this way.
No, like, literally, though, that's how I feel. So, like, let us know. I hate, like, I know why Libby and Charlie don't interact, but they are literally at multiple events together. Like, the karaoke, or not the karaoke night, the bar night, the town hall meeting, the ball, all of that. And they literally don't talk to each other, like, at all.
Yeah, it's a weird vibe. Libby's just, like, mad. I think that Charlie is so involved. But it's like, girl, say hello.
No, exactly. Like, I'm talking, like, they're not even saying hello.
Why are you in his bookstore singing under your breath instead of interacting with the world around you? Like, enough.
100%. I'm like, did they need to own the rental property, his family? Like, they got the bookstore.
I just think it's funny. Like, I think it's funny that it's like, haha, Charlie has to sleep in a race car bed because you have the family's, like, Airbnb that it seems like it never gets rented out. And this is, like, the first time someone stayed there.
That's fair, because I'm like, well, if you're going to stay there long term, why aren't you, like, finding a solution of, like, where to stay? But it's like, it would be the cottage.
Well, and it was also, he wasn't supposed to be staying. It's only at the end when it's like, oh, my sister's actually not coming back from Italy. She's marrying the guy there. So it wasn't supposed to be forever, and then it became forever, and then it became Libby's problem.
Right. I'm just a see you next Tuesday that's bitter, but, like, it's so... But it's, like, so funny that they wear the same perfume or, like, cologne or whatever.
It's called Book. What else are they going to do?
I know, but I was like, fucking...
It's discontinued, and yet they still both use it because they're soulmates.
I know. And I'm just being bitter about it. Like... And they use the same pen. That's not too rare in editing.
Like, don't they just use, like, it's like a Uniball, like one of these, like, basic ass. Like, I feel like it's actually a pretty basic favorite pen to have.
That's fair. But yeah, and I guess they're editors, so it's like, it does matter. But like, I was just like, okay, like, we get it. You're fucking soulmates. Like, whatever. I didn't need the bet about the checklist.
No, and honestly, like, I forgot about it. When you mentioned it on this podcast, I was like, it was a bet? Okay.
Yeah, just because it was, like, it had no stakes because...
No, because what? If they didn't complete all of the things, what was Nora giving Charlie? There was never a stake named.
No, it was just weird. I didn't need that. It would have worked without that because the checklist is funny and totally something. Like, my little sister would completely do that. So it didn't need this, like, additional layer. Obviously, this is more about the person, but Libby not telling Nora is so brutal. Crazy. That's not, like, about the book, though. That's just about her as, like, a character flaw. But Also, yeah, them talking about how North Carolina, they're talking about, like, she's moving to fucking Europe. It's, like, not, I think it's, like, a 3-hour flight or something like that. Like, it's, or maybe 2 hours. I don't know. It's not far.
Well, it seems like it's quite a drive from the airport.
That's fair. That's fair. Because they are, like, in rural North Carolina. But still, yeah,
it's, like, they're acting like it's across the whole world.
It's, or, it's like, on the same coast.
It's not that, like, far. It is not that far.
100%. And there's this couple on Summer House, Paige and Craig, and he lives in North Carolina in South Carolina, which is, I guess, farther, technically.
Would be further.
Yeah, Charleston, and she lives in New York, and they make it work, so. And then finally, our sequel scoop. This is the tea on any upcoming sequels, seasons, and the general reception. It's a standalone novel. It obviously did extremely well because Emily Henry's books are, like, popping off.
She's so talented.
She's worth it. We talk about this all the time, Kirsten and I, offline about,
like,
how
she's not fucking Colleen Hoover.
Yeah. Okay. No, like, literally.
I'm sorry. I need to just take a moment to hate on Colleen Hoover for a second. Go ahead. Like, if she has one hater,
it's you.
It's me. If she has no haters, I'm fucking dead. Like, she's trash. Yeah. I actively go out of my way to prevent people from reading Colleen Hoover books because she's not a good writer.
Mm-hmm.
She romanticizes, like, the worst possible shit. Mm-hmm. And then, like, also there's, like, a bunch of shady stuff with, like, her son, like, allegedly sexually assaulting people. And she's just like, leave him alone. And so I'm just like, mm-mm.
100%.
It's over for her. She's trash. Totally. But Emily Henry is not trash. She looks like Julia Roberts. She writes these beautiful stories. And she's just lovely.
She is. Yeah. It's like, this is the book talk success story that I want to see. Not
other than this, I'm not reading anything else from book talk.
No, I know. I am just to, like, be in the know and, like, be in the community. But, like, book talk has steered me wrong fucking, like, 9 out of 10 times. That's partially the reason why I didn't read any Emily Henry's, because this is another, I guess this is the gripe and grumble I have that I just thought of.
You should have asked me.
I should have asked you, but, like, no, it's like, I don't actually like the covers. I don't like the cartoon covers.
So cute. I do, because I think, like, she does cartoon covers in a way that's, like, not quite so childish. Like,
Yes. Icebreaker, like, you're right. If I had to choose a cartoon cover, it is the Emily Henry ones. But, like, for some reason,
like, she's no Tessa Bailey, who also is a trash writer. Can I be clear?
I've only read one of her novellas and I did not like it.
I read 2 novels and they're not good. And, like, it's she writes a lot of sex scenes. I don't care. What I hate about them is that they, like, the physics don't make sense. It's like, this isn't how human bodies work. Like, can we just take a minute and remember, like maybe she should write, like, the fantasy stuff so she doesn't have to be worried about where people's limbs are because they're, like, different creatures. I don't
100%. Also, if you like these authors, like,
give the, that's like, fine. If you that's like totally it, fine. I love it. Unless it's Colleen Hoover, and then I beg you to love yourself more.
Yeah, yeah, that's fair.
You deserve better. There's so much better out there. I'm sorry to be such a hater, but
I guess I had just been burned too many times from book talk because I wanted to be in the know. I wanted to have all the gossip that I read trash books. So then I was scared to read Emily Henry, and I'm really glad that I have now. This book is becoming a movie.
Yay!
She's very excited. She announced that on March 28th, 2023. It got picked up by Tango, who just produced Paul Mescal's After Sun. And you're right, Emily Henry posted a picture of Paul Mescal and Ayo Edebiri, but I think it's just, like, wishful thinking. I don't think that there's any.
No, I don't, like, think it's developed enough that they even would have a cast. Like, I think they're probably developing screenplays at this point and maybe starting to cast, but totally. Not, like, it's not, like, happening.
Totally. And I'm very excited for this because I know, like, a lot of people are apprehensive about TV and movie adaptations. But in her announcement, Emily Henry said, there has been a lot of rom-com films are dead talk over the last few years, even though absolutely everyone I know is desperate for them. The industry, even more than publishing, wants a sure thing. And as we all know, that is the absolute worst constraint for making art. I'm so grateful Tango wants to make this. This movie is going to be funny, cozy, moving, and messy. I can't wait. Thank you for being the best audience.
I'm going opening night, baby.
Yeah, I'll go with you.
And also, rom-coms are not dead. Rom-coms are so back for the last, like, 2 years. But people are just not ready to...
Rom-coms are back, baby. And then she said, my fave thing about posting these is always that you guys tag every hot person you can think of. And I think that's beautiful. And I was like, she is just, like, our kind of girl.
She, like, I literally... I have such a parasocial relationship with her. I follow her on Instagram, and I'm always like, oh my God, like, super cute curtain bangs. Oh my God, she colored her hair. To me, she's my friend, but she just doesn't know it yet. And absolutely. I'm like, should I start, like, replying to every story? Like, and then I'm like, no, like, yeah. Back off.
Be normal. Like, don't be crazy. Yeah. That's so fucking funny.
I get this one person DMs me, like, maybe every 8 months saying, my friend and I have a bet, and he says you don't reply to messages, and I say you do. Want to help me win $10? And I never have responded because that's a crazy person. And I'm like, oh my God, yeah. Should I use that line?
That's so fucking funny. Oh, that's so funny. Also, you can message us. You can DM us. I feel like Ready to Be Romance listeners are normal. Last but not least, Sarah Hayward is writing the script, and she has also written for Girls and Modern Love, which are two banger TV shows. So I'm very, very excited.
Okay. She better not do my girl Nora wrong. That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, I don't think so. Okay, let's wrap up with our singular listener question.
Amazing.
Here is a voicemail from Megan.
Hi, it's Megan. Using she, her pronouns, calling in from Vancouver, BC. My question is short and simple. Why is Libby so fucking annoying? Did you guys also think this? Like, were you struggling with her character as it went through? I just was so annoyed with her the whole time. Like, some of the family dynamics were interesting, but mostly I was like, get a grip. Like, your sister has money. She can help. Like, why are you being so fucking annoying? Anyways, what were your thoughts? Can't wait to listen to the episode. Bye.
I'll tell you exactly why Libby was annoying, because she's the youngest sister. Like, that's what, this is what it is to be the youngest. Yeah.
Totally. I'm a middle kid, so I'm like, I feel like I'm both a bigger sister and a younger sister. And yeah, it's like, but like, I get it. It's like, I feel like my older sister thinks this about me, and I think this about my little sister. It's like, yeah, the younger sister gets to be the carefree. Mm. And actually, Megan's an older sister. And I know her sister. And it's like, they get to be the carefree, whimsical girlies because they have the safety net of their older sisters. Yeah, I was kind of annoyed at her just because, like,
yeah.
Okay, I was annoyed with her, obviously, from the big reveal. But then the Charlie thing, because I'm like, also, if you know your sister so well, you should know and not be selfish that Charlie is the right guy for her. I do feel like she's kind of gives up on being mad about
Charlie pretty quick. I think for me, like, I can see that Libby is annoying.
Yeah.
But they do such a good job framing it from Nora's perspective, how much she loves Libby and wants to take care of her, that I'm just like, that's Libby. We take care of her. Like, get behind me, Libby. I'll fight Megan and Tori for you. Yeah.
Totally. And, like, I also love that it's, like, it's also such a biased view of Libby because we find out, again, like, she, like, doesn't like New York. She's, like, obsessed with her husband. She's worried about her sister, which are things that Nora could never see. So I don't want to read a Libby and Brendan story, but
I'm happy she's there. A 20-year-old dropping out of college to marry a much older man. That's not for me.
Okay, this was super fun. Thank you so much for coming on. Can you tell the listeners where they can find you and anything else you want to plug?
Thank you so much for having me on. If you had talked about this book with anyone but me, I might have stopped talking to you forever.
There's so many people that say that, and I'm like scared.
Just wait. Like, I'm ready. Like, wait till you talk to them about the wrong book with someone else. But yes, this was super fun. If people want to hear more from me, they can listen to me every week on Mess Magnets. Again, talking pop culture, celeb gossip, just vibes only. It's super fun. And you can follow me everywhere at Kirsten Said What, including twitch.tv/Kirsten Said What, where I play a variety of silly video games on stream.
Also, I love, like, the vibes of Mesh Magnets immaculate. Mwah. But you're always like vibes only. I was like, you and Sasha do so much research. Like, don't discredit.
We're like, vibes only. We have 20 pages of
notes. I know. I was like, don't discredit that you, like, are a very, like, facts-based pop culture podcast. Like,
well, sometimes the vibes are good. Sometimes the vibes are bad. But it's only vibes.
I know. Well, the vibes are only bad because people in Hollywood are rancid. But
so true. Yeah. So true.
Okay, Kristen, thanks so much for coming on. And that's the story of Book Lovers. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you to Kristen for joining me on today's show. If you haven't already, subscribing and leaving a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify really helps the show find new listeners and grow the community, so maybe one day we could have our own book club. You can also suggest a book or leave a voicemail for a future episode via the links in the episode show notes. Around mid-month, I'll post the upcoming schedule of books we're gonna cover on Instagram. I just did that yesterday. There's some really, really fun ones with some new and returning guests. Our next episode is Need Me. Until then, happy reading. For Ready to be Romanced, I'm Tori. Goodbye.